You're listening to The Alex Jones Show. Alex Jones Show, because there is a war on for your mind.
Do you do IQ tester?
Yep, that's what we do.
Okay, because I think I need one.
Okay, yeah, we can do that. Why do you need one?
Well, I've had some people lately telling me I have a low IQ.
Ooh, shots fired. Gosh, who's been telling you that?
Well, some people online have been telling me that, like the president, and even my dogs are looking at me a little bit condescendingly now.
Well, we'll find out. So with this IQ test, I'll just ask you a series of simple, really common sense questions, and you just give me your best answer.
I'm actually kind of a little bit nervous right now.
Oh, yeah, you should be, because if you turn out to be what some would call a low IQ nut job, then you're pretty much a lost cause.
Well, that doesn't sound good.
All right, first question. Which word doesn't belong? Apple, banana, carrot, orange.
Is it carrot?
Very good, because it's not a fruit and all. It's clever. Next question. Who would be considered more of a traitor to their country? Person A, who receives $230 million from a foreign lobby, or person B, who receives $0 from a foreign lobby?
I mean, clearly person A.
Wrong.
Come on, that's got to be correct.
Next. Hypothetical question. If a country has a major shipping waterway that you want to have open, and it's currently open, but they'll close it if you go to war, what would be a smart way to ensure that waterway stays open?
You don't go to war with them.
No, not even close. I mean, common sense would say go to war with that country and stay at war with that country as a way of putting pressure on them to reopen it after they've closed it because you went to war with them.
Are you playing with a full deck?
I don't play cards, but thanks for asking. Oh, and this is a good one. If you had the desire to take down an international pedophile ring, what would be the best way to follow through on that desire?
Well, you launch a full investigation using every means necessary, and then you prosecute those bastards the fullest extent of the law.
Wrong. No. You would launch an effort to prevent any investigations and prosecutions.
That can't be right.
Well, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure.
No. These questions are kind of weird.
Oh, I assure you, these are standardized IQ test questions, sir. Next question. Here's a scenario. You got a person, they work for America and America only. What country does that person work for?
America?
That's incorrect. They work for Iran. Next question. Who's more beautiful as a woman? France's first lady, or maybe man, or Candace Owens?
Candace Owens?
No.
Have you seen France's first lady?
I would totally do her. If she had an OnlyFans, I would subscribe. Any reasonable man would. Okay, how would you describe what America First means?
Putting America's interests first above any other foreign nation.
No, you're actually describing anti-Semitism. Yuck. Okay, last question. What year did we first land on the moon?
We've never been to the moon.
No, we've been to the moon. We go all the time. Well, your test is complete. I've never seen a score like this before.
What'd I get?
You got an IQ of 65.
Is that high?
No, that's a very low IQ.
My life is literally ruined. He was right.
Who was right?
Just don't worry about that now. My big question is, what am I gonna do with my life now that I've learned that I am so stupid?
Well, just remember, you're also a nut job. But yeah, you're pretty screwed. Really, the only option I can give low IQ people such as yourself is to, like, go off and open a Somali daycare.
I am completely devastated. Are you talking about that creature looks like from the Lord of the Rings, the goblin thing that shovels around beside Macron, whatever it is? You're saying she's beautiful? Okay. beautiful to do it like a gremlin, maybe.
Good. All right, folks. That's the latest from Alex Jones and J.P. Sears. You, too, can be low IQ with one of these stylish low IQ hats. You can let everybody know that you're too stupid to see the beauty of Emmanuel Macron's wife. You're too stupid to understand why America First means we need to go to war forever for Israel. Incredible stuff. You can get that hat at thealexjonesstore.com. Thealexjonesstore.com is your one-stop shop for incredible supplements, awesome merchandise, and you keep us on the air and telling the truth regardless of who likes it or what lies we have to disprove in the process. TheAlexJonesStore.com, TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. I want to go to a video now. This was just published by Marjorie Taylor Greene talking about Donald Trump's support of FISA, which is, I guess it would be shocking if it wasn't just the latest in a series of foundational promises from Trump being broken recently. He really does seem to have turned around on everything. And here's Marjorie Taylor Greene's reaction to his latest announcement that he said, hey, you know, just because it destroys some of your freedoms, it doesn't matter because the military really likes FISA. You know, the court that was used to spy on Trump and destroy his first administration and try to send him to jail. He loves it now. Let's watch.
I'm having a really hard time keeping up with what is the new MAGA now. Apparently, the new MAGA is warrantless spying on Americans. This has always been an issue that President Trump and especially conservative Republicans, when I served in Congress, we all said there should never be warrantless spying on Americans. And this was about FISA Section 702. But apparently President Trump has come out and demanded that Republicans in Congress pass a clean reauthorization of FISA Section 702. Now, this comes really approximately 2 years after President Trump had put on Truth Social, his version of Twitter, in all caps, kill FISA. It was illegally used against me and many others. They spied on my campaign, DJT. So before he was president, he was demanding that Congress kill FISA. That was when Republicans, we had the majority under President Biden. But now that Donald Trump is president, he wants a clean reauthorization of FISA. Don't add anything about warrant requirements, nothing. Just pass it so that the federal government can do whatever they want and continue to spy on whoever they want. Let's give a little history about that because I find this really frustrating. So there's been a lot of abuses of FISA Section 702. If you'll remember, this included backdoor searches, where Section 702 allowed the FBI and NSA to query data for information on U.S. citizens without a warrant, by the way. Targeting American citizens, queries have been used inappropriately to search for information on protesters. That would be you if you don't like what your government's doing. Journalists, what happened to freedom of the press? Political commentators, members of Congress, and a state judge. There was a high volume of misuse. Reports revealed that between late 2020 and early 2021, FBI analysts ran over 278,000 queries that violated agency standards, failing to meet legal thresholds for foreign surveillance. And it goes on and on and on. So why is President Trump demanding a clean reauthorization? And why are Republicans like Mike Johnson and Jim Jordan willing to give it to him? Just a little jog down memory lane. Jim Jordan, who was always a strong ally of mine in the House, was actually one of the main members of Congress demanding warrant requirements on FISA. But now Jim Jordan is totally fine with whatever needs to be done. This is a case where it's turning into Republican members of Congress are just completely obedient to whatever the president and the White House tells them to do. They have totally let go of the issues that they have fought on, and that's at the peril of the American people, because the American people elect their representatives to actually represent them, not the president and whatever he is demanding on any given day. I just want to give a shout out to Thomas Massie, because Thomas Massie posted that he is a no on final passage of FISA 702 reauthorization bill. Thank you, Thomas Massey, once again. He said, if it doesn't include warrant provision and other reforms to protect U.S. citizens' right to privacy, he's voting no. And that's the right thing to do. That doesn't make Thomas Massey a traitor. That doesn't make him a Democrat. That means he's standing up for the rights of Americans. That's exactly what we always did in the past until now. President Trump has decided that he's 100% for the deep state and 100% for the federal government to be able to spy on you as much as they want without a warrant requirement. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, if you voted for President Trump, you should be calling him out, holding him accountable. If you voted for Republicans, you should be calling them out, holding them accountable for the issues that they always claimed they would fight on. And this one today is pretty shocking to me, and I'm pretty disgusted with it. So you guys, call the congressional switchboard, do whatever you can, but let Congress know that you don't want to be spied on by the federal government, by our intelligence agencies, no matter what President Trump says. Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Yeah, I'm not sure how you really spin this one. What good is the FISA court at all? I mean, it's literally just used to spy on Americans, spy on Trump's presidential campaign. And maybe this would be one of those instances where, like, the Democrats set the precedent by doing it, and then we could do it, but we're not going to do it like that. And I wouldn't even be in favor of that anyway, but I guess they're just getting away with it is the actual thing that's happening, is that they get to abuse these things, but then we're not allowed to take them away because of how necessary they are. You see, the fact that they're necessary means you have to harshly control any abuse. Again, there's some people, I don't know where the confusion comes in. If this is so necessary, if this is such an important thing for us to have, then anybody violating it and putting its existence at risk should be dealt with harshly. That's the risk. That's the person doing the bad thing. But they get to abuse it, and then if you want to take it away, they say, oh, but we need it for the actual terrorism that it stops or whatever. So it's basically blackmail. So it's basically, let us spy on you and anybody that we want to spy on. Let us get, you know, secret access to all of your devices and spy on you continuously, and then use that information, politically leak it out or weaponize it internally to keep control of America. And if you don't, then gosh, I guess the terrorist attacks will be your fault. I guess if you take away the ability for us to spy on Americans and rig the political system, then I guess you're kind of responsible if terrorists attack, right? It's utterly inverted. It's completely ridiculous, but that is the case. I want to go now to clip number 5. This is Steve Bannon also talking about the trouble of Trump's administration, the coming up to the midterms, and sort of the reverse view, it seems like, Trump has of his popularity. I think you'll understand what I mean when we hear Steve Bannon talk about it. Here he is yesterday talking about Trump's failure to uphold the popularity he enjoyed in 2024.
He says, send every H-1B visa holder and their families and everybody that came over with it on the next plane out of here, and all those billets come open for, wait for it, Americans, American workers. If you do that, this polling on the young people did not come because President Trump went to UFC fights. Yeah, that's a cool thing, and it's one of the things that a lot of these young men are attracted to, and it's great President does that, and Dana White and everybody, they got clearly a market, and they touch a nerve. They came because finally somebody was standing up for their economic interest, and now we've abandoned that. It shouldn't be lost on people that the free fall in that is not because of memes, and it's not because of UFC. It's because we've abandoned them to foreign workers, full stop. When you put American citizens' interest first, paramount, at the top of it, a special deal, yes, they should get a special deal. They treat Americans like you should be supplicants for your basic rights. Oh, well, these foreigners, screw everybody else. American citizens get a...
I don't know why this is so hard. I don't know why this is so hard to comprehend. And I think part of it is that, I mean, obviously the the boomers are the number one constituency of the Republicans. Again, while young people are desperate, just trying to start their lives out, trying to believe in the promise of America and that they can actually achieve something if they just put in the hard work, they're being screwed over. And the GOP is putting out advertisements bragging that they're no longer going to charge tax on new boat purchases. New boat purchases. Okay, so they're serving the people who are buying boats while the people who are living out of their cars are only doing worse. Why would you do that if you weren't trying to destroy the Republican Party? Why would you not offer a solution or, at the very least, understanding for what the average young person is going through? Instead, all you get from the Republicans is insults and name-calling, basically, as they sell out our country to foreign interests. And the obvious and inevitable result of that will be that socialists take power. Duh. And yet again, I'm like, how do people not understand this? How do people not understand that when a young person is sitting there going, I've got all this student debt, I feel like I'm trapped, I can't even afford a home, I can't even afford to live by myself renting, and I'm working my fingers to the bone just to pay off the interest of the debt. People used to understand this. This is from a Saturday Evening Post from, I believe, the 1940s. I actually took this picture. I found it at a thrift store or a whatever, antique shop. And it says this: the contented workman, the enemy of unrest. Anarchy is the child of despair. Apart from the cranks, the money-lusting exploiters of ignorance, and the temperamental nihilist, nobody wants to go red, right? Nobody wants to be a communist. Men only become communist only if they are bitterly discontented. Let a man feel that he is oppressed and exploited, that his employer neither knows nor cares if he lives or dies, that whatever happens, he has nothing to lose, and he listens with conviction to the agitator's vindictive foamings and to the promise of a communist heaven on earth. But the contented workman, with his family, his home, his savings, sure of fair treatment by his employer, secure against accident, is immune to the virus of the agitator. Class war, revolution, blood, murder, what promise lies in these thoughts to the contented workman? It's like, try to say that now, people will call you a socialist. Try to say that now, it's like, well, you just don't understand. You just aren't as sophisticated. You don't understand why corporations need to be allowed to exploit people to the maximum degree and, you know, offshore all of their work and replace all of their employees with H-1Bs. You're just not sophisticated enough. You just don't understand how the stock market works. It's like, no, this is actually very simple. If you want people to love your system, it has to benefit them in some way. In some way. Our system is the better system. It does provide for a contented life. It can be a system in which people can work minimum amount. Mom can stay home. Dad can work a couple hours a day. Go on trips on the weekend, take a couple vacations a year, retire at 60. That's what life used to be like here in America for the vast majority of people. Now, it's those same people who bought houses in 1990 as 30-year-olds. They're the same people buying houses now because the economy has been destroyed for their sake. You can't just ignore that and then expect people to go along with you. And interestingly, I was looking at the speech that JFK gave right before his death, where he talks about the quote-unquote monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that's confronting the world at the time. And a lot of people can put that in a lot of context. It's a very powerful quote. What he was actually talking about was communism. And he actually starts that speech, if you go read the full text of the actual speech he gave, with a very similar story to what I just read about the contented workman. He's giving a speech to a bunch of media people, a bunch of newspaper men and that sort of thing. And he says, I appreciate how much your generous invitation to be here tonight. You bear heavy responsibility these days, and an article I read some time ago reminded me of how particularly heavy the burdens of present-day events bear upon your profession. Remember, he's talking to newspaper men and the mainstream media at the time. He says, you may remember that in 1851, the New York Herald Tribune, under sponsorship and publishing of Horace Greeley, employed in its London correspondent an obscure journalist by the name of Karl Marx. We are told that foreign correspondent Marx, stone broke and with a family ill and undernourished, constantly appealed to Greeley and managing editor Charles Dana for an increase in his munificent salary of $5 per installment, a salary which he and Engels ungratefully labeled as, quote, the lousiest petty bourgeois cheating. But when all of his financial appeals were refused, Marx looked around for other means of livelihood and fame, eventually terminating his relationship with the Tribune and devoting his talents full-time to the cause that would bequeath the world the seeds of Leninism, Stalinism, revolution, and the Cold War. If only this capitalistic New York newspaper had treated him more kindly. If only Marx had remained a foreign correspondent, history might have been different. And I hope all publishers will bear this lesson in mind next time they receive a poverty-stricken appeal for a small increase in the expense account for an obscure newspaper. So he's saying the same thing, right? It's a tongue-in-cheek and kind of funny way of saying it. But he's essentially saying, look, people wouldn't have come up with communism and certainly wouldn't pursue communism now if they felt like they were valued by their employer, by their nation, by their neighborhood, by their people. Now, how much worse is our condition? And remember the video we saw yesterday about the girl who was fully in the leftist cult and only broke out after seeing how insane they were about COVID? And she said, and again, I can explain it to you, but when somebody like her explains it, it's so much more powerful, where she's like, I believed in this guilt over being white. And she's like, I was indoctrinated with this idea that as a white person, I was bad. I was basically the beneficiary and privileged because of all of these horrible things that my people had done in the past. And so as penance, I had to give up everything to these people. Like, they actually imbue this. So now we've got people that aren't just sort of outraged that they're not being treated well. They've actually taken in the lesson of not being treated well. They think they deserve it. It's like a Stockholm syndrome. And so they're so radically communist and socialist, they don't even pursue it because they're making the claim that it will benefit this country. They're actually like, no, we do deserve to go down. We are evil. We support communism because it will destroy America. So it's even worse than it was back in the 60s. But it's something that I feel like we've forgotten or has been just deliberately driven out of our public conversation, is that if you want America to survive and if you want conservatism to last, you have to actually make arguments that appeal to people's self-interest and their personal lives and how much, damage is being done to their personal lives by the policies, by the pursuit of profit by big corporations. They don't represent us. I am not Amazon. I am not McDonald's. This does nothing to help me. And yet we've been convinced in this false dichotomy that it's between capitalists and communism. The actual dichotomy is between communists and Christians. Communists and America. Freedom. Choice. When the communists rose to power and we were trying to delineate ourselves from communism and define what we believed, we didn't put "In money we trust" on the Bibles, we put "In God we trust" on the money. Our motto, E Pluribus Unum, was changed to "In God we trust" specifically to countersignal the atheistic communist movement. People back then understood the dichotomy. They understood that the difference is between freedom, life, and love, and Christian worldview of mercy and understanding versus the harsh, brutal, retarded, dangerous, and deadly communistic atheism. That's the actual thing that we're trying to battle for right now, battle against communism in its atheistic form, and battle for the society and the culture and the fundamental values that came out of Christian Europe. That's the actual dichotomy. And the more you focus on serving the capitalist interests, you're damaging the very fabric of the society that's actually worth upholding. That's going to be it for me. Jay Dyer takes over as the fourth hour of the Alex Jones Show continues. War Room comes up after that. Stay tuned. Very powerful shows finishing out the day here. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. It's your last chance to get InfoWars branded material.
We have it all. Ultramethylene Blue, we have the best. The Shilajit, we have the best. The Turmeric, we have the best. We have the best spike protein, procardiovascular, ultimate life force. The best Irish sea moss gummies and capsules. Incredible. Research for yourself. We have the best at thealterstore.com. And if you buy any of them, they're 50% off when you sign up for auto ship. Cancel anytime. And you guarantee it never sells out. They hold it back. You get 50% off on future orders. And anybody that downloads for free the Android or the Apple app, you find both links to it at alexjonesapp.com. It's free. You get an additional 20% off at checkout on top of that. Now, I had to convince Pitley to do this. They were a little skeptical because they like to give you good deals, but not this good because it's loss leader when you use the app. But because we have an 80%+ reorder rate on things like Ultramethylene Blue, it's actually working because you get it, you love it, and you keep ordering. So these are great products. I want to induce you to try them. You know our information is hardcore. Try the products. It's just as hardcore. 1776 worldwide. We will crush the 1984 globalist system. God bless you all.